Hello, and thanks for joining us on Chicago Tonight. I'm Nick Blumberg. Brandis Friedman will join us later in the program. Here's what we're looking at.
Safe and compassionate immigration policies, I believe, are vital.
Governor Pritzker faces off with Congress members as he defends state protections for undocumented immigrants at a D.C. hearing.
No more to Trump, DHS, and to ICE.
Organizers are preparing for large-scale protests against the Trump administration. What you can expect from Saturday's No Kings rally. And audiences are getting a new take on a Shakespearean classic. And now to some of today's top stories. Police from out of state have been illegally accessing data from license plate readers from Illinois. That's according to Secretary of State Alexi Janulius, who says out-of-state police have used the information to target people seeking reproductive health care or for immigration-related enforcement in violation of state law. The Mount Prospect Police Department is facing an investigation for sharing information in hundreds of immigration cases and data on a woman from Texas who came to Illinois for abortion care.
This demonstrates a broader problematic trend of other states leveraging this emerging technology, extending their reach beyond their jurisdictions to surveil and hunt down law-abiding individuals. Make no mistake, this is a fundamental threat to the liberties of all Americans.
The Secretary of State's office says it plans to look into whether other departments have also violated that law. School's out for summer. Today marked the final day of the academic year for Chicago Public School students. The milestone came just a day after the city school board picked former principal and City Hall advisor Maculin King to lead the district on an interim basis. The Chicago Tribune reported last week that as a principal, King was investigated, though not disciplined, over negligence concerns related to student safety policies. The school board has hired a search firm to help find a permanent CEO, with directors reportedly hoping to hire someone by the end of September. And Puerto Rican Fest is back. The annual celebration of Puerto Rican culture kicks off today in Humboldt Park with food, live music, carnival games, and dancing. Hey, what more can you ask for? And the star of the show, the Puerto Rican People's Day Parade, is on Saturday. Festivities last through the weekend. Up next, what Governor Pritzker said while testifying in Washington, D.C. today. Heather Sharon gives us a rundown.
Chicago Tonight is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family, the Polk Brothers Foundation, and the support of these donors.
Governor J.B. Pritzker found himself in a white-hot spotlight on Capitol Hill today. He was called to defend Illinois' efforts to protect undocumented immigrants from deportation in front of the U.S. House Oversight Committee. Pritzker struck a defiant tone when asked if he was worried Trump's border czar would order his arrest.
If Tom Homan were to come to try to arrest us, I can say, first of all, that he can try. I can also tell you that I will stand in the way of Tom Homan going after people who don't deserve to be frightened in their communities, who don't deserve to be threatened, terrorized. I would rather that he came and arrested me than do that to the people of my state.
Now, alongside Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and New York Governor Kathy Hochul, Pritzker urged Republicans to help him fix the nation's, quote, broken immigration system. Let's listen to a bit of the governor's opening statement.
I have seen firsthand how states have had to shoulder the consequences of a broken immigration system. I'm proud of how we have responded by promoting public safety, treating people with dignity, supporting our economy, and respecting the rule of law.
Our Heather Sharon joins us now with more on the governor's very long, and very high-stakes day. Heather, even though this hearing was supposed to focus on laws designed to protect undocumented immigrants from deportation, didn't quite turn out that way. What happened?
It sure didn't. It was overtaken by events. Of course, we've now seen large-scale protests against the president's mass deportation efforts. There are protests going on right now in Chicago and across the country. But during the hearing, officers protecting Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem tackled and forcefully handcuffed California Senator Alex Padilla. That created just chaos in this hearing. Governor Pritzker took a moment to sort of decry that action, and as Republicans sort of celebrated it, and Democrats said that this was a clear threat to Congress as a co-equal branch of law. Lost in the shuffle was the nitty-gritty over what exactly the Illinois Trust Act did, but that is well-trodden territory. Of course, Mayor Brandon Johnson faced a lot of those questions back in March.
Yeah, we certainly saw, you know, perhaps a lack of understanding back at that hearing. Well, as we've reported, the Justice Department is suing Illinois to overturn the Illinois Trust Act. Will anything that happened today potentially influence that case, which, you know, of course, could determine whether the president can claw back billions of dollars from the state, from the city?
Not really. It was mentioned only briefly, as Pritzker insisted the state complies with federal law, and Republicans insisted that it in fact did not. Again and again, Pritzker said that Illinois law enforcement agents honor judicial warrants, and they simply don't interfere with ICE agents if they're conducting other immigration enforcement activities. I don't think either side really learned anything new today, though.
And Pritzker, of course, he has yet to announce whether he's going to run for a third term as governor, and he is, of course, considering running for president in 2028. Did we learn anything, perhaps, about his political future today?
Well, he certainly staked out land on sort of the far left side of the Democratic Party, sort of vigorously combating the president. Today, he sort of was very milquetoast for much of the day, but towards the end, perhaps he was a little tired and annoyed, got a little punchy with some of the Republicans, and clearly is willing to show that he is a fighter. And the question is that what Democratic voters are going to be looking for in a third term as governor, or perhaps in 2028?
Well, Heather, I can imagine you were a little bit tired after covering that marathon hearing, but thank you for watching that, Heather Sharon.
Thanks, Nick.
And you can read Heather's full story on our website. It's all at WTTW.com/news. As President Trump marks his birthday with a massive military parade in D.C., organizers in Chicago and around the country are pushing back. Demonstrators plan to gather in Daley Plaza at noon on Saturday for one of many so-called No Kings events, with activists rallying against immigration enforcement and other federal policies. Dozens of other gatherings are planned across Chicagoland, from neighborhoods like South Chicago and Edgewater to suburbs like Evanston and Schaumburg. Joining us now with more are two of the groups organizing the demonstration, Kathy Folan, Indivisible Chicago's board president, and Ed Yonka, communications and public policy director at the ACLU of Illinois. Welcome both of you to Chicago Tonight. Kathy, why do the groups putting this demonstration together want to perhaps counteract the message of Saturday's parade in D.C.?
Well, Nick, we are facing a national crisis that is only growing every day. It seems on days like today that it's growing every hour, right? The president has weaponized the military against the American people. ICE agents are terrorizing and kidnapping and disappearing our neighbors. And the president and his administration continue to work to undermine democracy. That's what's happening while the military parade is happening in Washington. In Chicago and around the country on Saturday, we have the opportunity to stand up and say no. We are not a country with a king. We are not a country where chaos and cruelty reign. We are not a country in service of billionaires. We are a country of laws and laws in service of the people. And that's why we are gathering on Saturday to say no kings.
Well, you know, Ed, there was a lot of conversation about what a lot of people called the resistance during the first Trump administration. Do you think those forces are as active during this go-round?
I think they really are waking up and becoming more active each and every day. As Kathy said, you know, every time you see, you know, masked, heavily armed agents careening through our streets and sweeping people up and kidnapping them, when the president is cutting funding to things like Head Start, you know, when you look at the kinds of policies that are targeting transgender folks, people are recognizing the reality that today, this week, he's targeting those people. Next week, it could be all of us. And I think you're starting to see a coalescing around this. You see it in the polls, and I think you're beginning to see it in actions like Saturday. You know, that list of communities across just Chicagoland is really impressive in terms of people wanting to come out and reject this kind of authoritarianism.
Well, you know, this Saturday's protest follows a week of demonstrations against immigration enforcement, both here and around the country. Here's some of what local advocates had to say earlier today.
We cannot allow the Trump administration to continue to ramp up and meet these 3,000 quota of individuals detained each day. ICE doesn't even have the spaces to hold that many people. They have no beds. They have no medical care. They have no humanity or law and order.
And we also learned this week Chicago is one of the cities expected to be targeted for heightened immigration enforcement. You know, Ed, what kind of work can you do with immigrant communities to prepare for that?
So I think there's a couple of things. The first thing is you know, the groups like OCAD and ICER who held that press conference today have done such a great job of really educating a broad swath of people about their rights, so they're ready to prepare. But the second thing is that what's really, I think, important now is that all of us from every community watch what's happening to our neighbors and our friends and our coworkers and be prepared to speak out, to demand that our federal officials provide oversight of this process, to ensure that, you know, our local officials are doing everything to follow the Illinois Trust Act that was the, you know, that was the subject of that high circus act today in Washington, D.C.
Sure. You know, Kathy, there's been some media coverage of clashes between demonstrators and law enforcement here in Chicago as well as in L.A. Do you think those represent a majority of the demonstrations?
Oh, absolutely not. And I would just say that Indivisible Chicago and all of our 60-plus partner organizations sponsoring the rally on Saturday are committed to nonviolence. We are committed to nonviolence, and we are preparing to work to ensure the safety of people who attend. And we take safety very seriously. We have teams of trained and experienced safety marshals, and we know that the Chicago Police Department will also be there to protect our right to protest.
You know, Nick, could I add something about this? You know, I hear this, I see the headlines about, you know, the outbreaks of, you know, some limited amounts of violence in cities like L.A. You know, I relish having that conversation if I weren't having it with someone who pardoned the people who beat police officers on January 6th. It is really ridiculous that we're responding to what Donald Trump thinks ought to be peaceful protest when that's what he's forgiven. So I think this idea that somehow protest is dangerous has really grown up in a way that's really precarious. I will tell you, having been at a number of these, you know, you see people there with their families, with children in strollers, with, you know, multi-generations together, because they're just fed up with what this guy is doing. And that's what Saturday will feel like.
All right. Well, I'm sure there will be a lot of eyes on Saturday's gathering. That's where we'll have to leave it for tonight. But Kathy Tholen, Ed Yonkov, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And we're back with more right after this. We will get back to our program in just 2 minutes with Brandis Friedman and an unusual twist on one of Shakespeare's most famous works. But first, we are asking for your help. You may have heard that Congress today narrowly voted to cut current and future funding to PBS. That legislation now goes to the Senate. We're here to ask you to consider two things: making a contribution to WTTW and letting your voice supporting public media be heard. PBS and WTTW have always had a partnership with you, our local audience, and that support is more critical now than it's ever been. As a WTTW and Chicago Tonight viewer, you understand the value of trusted local public media programming, including the journalism you get from Chicago Tonight, as well as PBS NewsHour. Many of you have asked what you can do to help ensure that WTTW remains strong. If this is something that's important to you, you can make your voice heard by contacting members of the U.S. Senate. You can learn the facts at WTTW.com/protectmypublicmedia and share those facts with your family and friends. And if it's right for you, you can donate to WTTW by calling 773-588-1111 or going to WTTW.com. You can also scan the QR code on your screen. Your contribution at whatever level you choose is always appreciated, but what's most important is that you participate. This is public media, and it's our members that keep us strong, today and into the future. Here's what some of you, our viewers, have written in to tell us. I enjoy the programming. I learn what's happening in Chicago and surrounding suburbs and all across the U.S. My favorites are PBS NewsHour, Chicago Tonight, America Masters, and Miss Scarlet. This is the only TV I watch. WTTW provides me with all I need as regards news, educational programs, and entertainment. I cannot imagine living without it. WTTW's news programs are informative and unbiased. Their shows are entertaining. We watch WTTW all the time. We hope you find value in what we do here at WTTW News, Chicago Tonight, and throughout the day and night on WTTW. Please consider supporting us in whatever way feels right to you. We're in this together. Thank you. Chicago Tonight returns in a moment.
Tragedy, betrayal, revenge. Those are some of the themes of most any Shakespearean drama, but audiences are now getting a twist of the beloved classic, Hamlet. Rather than a stage production, creators are giving audiences an earful with an audio adaptation. Here to explain more about the magic that is Hamlet are Jeremy McCarter, adapter, director, executive producer, and founder of the Make Believe Association, and Daniel Kyrie, a Chicago native and star of the new adaptation of Hamlet. Welcome. Thanks to you both for joining us.
Great to be here.
Yeah. So, Jeremy, tell us how this works. Hamlet, but make it podcast.
That's right. Right. Why would we do such a thing? A couple of years ago, we realized that our audience, people who listen to podcasts, tend to do so on headphones. And when we have the audience between a set of headphones, we have this special superpower that we can do. We can make them feel that they're inside the main character's head. And I just thought, well, if we can do that, what would be a more interesting head to be inside than Hamlet's? Which is, Hamlet is the most famous play ever written because of the way that Shakespeare puts us inside his mind as he is dealing with his world falling apart around him. So I did the adaptation, found Daniel Kyrie, and he was willing to do it, and away we went.
What goes into the process of making a project like this visually appealing to an audience without visuals? Because we're used to seeing this on a stage.
For sure. We are blessed to have, as one of our closest collaborators, Mikael Fixel. He's a Tony Award-winning sound designer who has this incredible ability to render worlds that are so vivid you think you're seeing them, even though all you're doing is listening to the sound effects that he's creating. And then we have the performances of the actors and the way that they respond to the cues that they're getting from Misha's sound design. The response we're getting from our early audiences is that people feel like they're really in it.
Daniel Kyrie, most folks probably know you from your role on Chicago Fire, but why did you want to play this role? Very different from how we're used to seeing you.
Totally. I mean, Hamlet is one of those, it's like the Moby Dick of the acting world, right? I feel like a lot of actors are in pursuit of what their version of this iconic character can be. It is rife with challenges, right? The ability to do your analysis of the text and what's happening and to translate it into living, breathing beingness, I think is something that is just worthy of the challenge. And so for me, I was thrilled to get another crack at it.
What, how do you prepare for something like that?
Due diligence. I mean, it requires a world of study and specificity, and I am lucky enough to have been blessed with such thorough and talented collaborators like Jeremy McCarter or Sydney Charles, who is the associate director on this project, or, as mentioned, Mikhail Fixel. Mm-hmm. These are all folks that I can kind of go into a room with, bounce ideas off of, and you know, rely on them to give me kind of guidance. In a lot of ways, my team was my North Star for this project.
Also, as a Chicagoan, you've been on Chicago Fire for some time, and I'm going to come back to Hamlet in a second, I promise, but what's that been like for you to be able to act in your hometown on a successful series?
Yeah, absolutely incredible. I mean, you know, I have done a lot of work locally in Chicago on many stages across the city, and I was actually doing my first round of Hamlet when I was cast on the show Chicago Fire. And so, you know, there is a difference, I think, in perhaps platform or impact in some ways, in terms of just like the recognizability of something like Chicago Fire. And so, of course, I go back to my hood and people are like, yo, what's up? What's like, up? You're on TV, you know, that whole thing. And there's something that's just really affirming for me as an actor, because, you know, it can be a tough business, and I've been very, very fortunate.
So you're ready for Hamlet then. Let's listen to one of Hamlet's inner monologues that you were talking about.
Must I remember? Why, she would hang on him as if increase of appetite had grown by what it fed on. And yet within a month, I mean, not think on it. Frailty, thy name is woman. A little month, or ere those shoes were old with which she followed my poor father's body, like Niobe, all tears. Why, she, even she, oh, God.
Jeremy, of course, there have been, I don't know how many, countless iterations and productions of Hamlet over the years. What sets this one apart? Obviously, being that it's an audio production.
Sure. I mean, even among audio productions of Hamlet, of which there have been many, as far as we can tell, no one has taken this specific approach, which is to adapt the text so that you are experiencing the entire story from Hamlet's own point of view. So when you put headphones on and you hear things happening, you're hearing as they're happening to and around Hamlet. That is a completely different way of, it's a fresh angle at coming at the play. And we did it, obviously we're an audio company, we wanted to make a cool audio story that the audience would love, but also we felt like we can use these tools, the specific tools of podcasting, to maybe give people an angle on this play that they've never had before in 425 years. That was, you know, the fun part of the challenge as people who really love Shakespeare.
Daniel, the audience can't physically see you, but we know you're Black, right? And you said you played Hamlet before. How do you think, what does that mean to you, to be a Black man stepping into this role?
I think that it really is an opportunity to perhaps divorce myself or my characters, because I'm Black, so he's Black, the kinds of perhaps expectations that might come up, right, from people visually seeing me, and to just kind of lean in and listen to his story, what he is experiencing, and just empathize with his humanity in a way that sometimes I feel, because, you know, we are in divisive times, it sometimes is a little bit more difficult for us to see another person's point of view, especially when there are kind of clearer or more obvious separations or could be between us. And so, and differences, yeah. And so in this case, I think it's just a wonderful opportunity to just let our imaginations go and feel what we feel from the circumstances that this human person is experiencing. It's exciting for me.
10 seconds left. Jeremy McCarter, 10th anniversary of Hamilton. You co-wrote Hamilton, The Revolution with the creator, Lin-Manuel Miranda. When you look back on these 10 years, what do you see?
I see a show that's had an unbelievable legacy. I mean, none of us, I think, thought 10 years later it would still be on Broadway, or that it would have shifted the culture in all the ways that it shifted it. I mean, I feel unbelievably lucky that I got to have the view on that kind of miraculous experience that I did.
All right. Congrats to you both. Thank you for joining us, Jeremy McCarter and Daniel Kyrie. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And we're back right after this.
That's our show for this Thursday night. Be sure to sign up for our free email newsletter, The Daily Chicagoan, at WTTW.com/newsletter. And join us tomorrow night at 5:30 and 7 for the Week in Review. Now for all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Nick Blumberg. Thank you for watching, stay healthy and safe, and have a good night.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm that serves the needs of clients in the Chicago area and throughout the nation.